Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Surviving Sister Wives contains adult content that may not be suitable for Latter-day Saints or sinners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to Surviving Sister Wives.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Carly. And this is Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 5, Seeking Can Be Complicated.
Why'd you have to go and make things so complicated?
I'm sorry. Was that in the right... I don't even know what to call it because I'm not musically inclined.
Oh, you don't even know what to call it, do you?
No.
Well, I had to be careful. I had to keep
it
neutral.
The melody was different.
The key
okay.
would be different.
A lot was different.
Because there's a backing music track that's underneath us right now, so I had to keep it neutral because if I just went a cappella in a specific key that doesn't match up with the music that I'm dropping in post, then it's really going to sound off.
Okay, that's like a little too much for me.
Well, I'm thinking 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 steps ahead. God. Nobody's ready.
Unlike Garrick in this episode.
I think he is thinking ahead, mostly to the 3, 4, and 5.
Okay, you got me there.
Specifically, though. But before we jump in on the episode, we do have a couple of announcements, a little state of the pod update. So if you couldn't tell already, if it hasn't been confirmed here, we are going to be recapping Seeking Sister Wife Season 5 through to the finish here, whatever that means. To completion, I guess, if we want to refer to it that way, but that does make me feel a little bit uncomfortable.
It feels on par for the show.
But it's definitely on brand, for sure. But we don't know how many episodes there are. We can see out into mid-May, beginning of May, at the least. So that's kind of the upcoming schedule. We will be sticking with Seeking Sister Wife for the remainder of Season 5 as they release. And just a note there for the podcast release, we did alter our episode drop date. So we were releasing episodes on Wednesdays. Now that we're doing Seeking Sister Wife, we've been dropping those on Monday mornings. So if you weren't fully aware of that as well, just another heads up thing to note for the time being.
And that's so that you can listen to the most recent recap of the last episode before TLC drops the new one on Monday night.
So that's the scheduling adjustment. We will most likely be returning to our Sister Wives rewatch episodes, starting back in with Season 13, Episode 2, after Season 5 of Seeking Sister Wife wraps up. But we will reassess that later on towards the end of this season as needed. If you are desperately missing our Sister Wives content, we have Seasons 1 through 12 on our Patreon archive, and you can still listen to Seasons 14 through 18 on our public feed.
There's a lot of episodes to listen to in the meantime.
It's a delicate time. It's still a lot to process. The family is still going through it. we're trying to be mindful of the season that we're going to be jumping back into is season 13. That's the move to Flagstaff. There's going to be a lot of opinions that are apparent when we do get to that part of the recap. So we just want to be mindful of that.
And there's a lot of talk about the kids in that season. So just trying to give them a little more time and space before we get back into it. And again, we'll reassess and see where things are at once we're at the end of Seeking Sister Wife. But in the meantime, if you're not watching this show, you should be. And that's not because we are recapping it. It is because this is a good show.
This is worth watching. This is a show that's worthwhile. Worth your time.
The Merrifields are a gift that just keeps on giving every single episode. It's heating up more than it even was at the beginning. The beginning was good. It's getting better and better every week.
I got so confused when some people were saying, oh, I tried to go and watch the first few episodes, couldn't get into it. I'm sorry, but I don't know how you couldn't get into this. This is better than any of the 90-day iterations that are going on right now. This is where it's at.
This is kind of a 90-day iteration.
It feels like old 90-day. This is what it feels like.
All right, do we want to read the episode description?
Do you have them both?
Oh, God. All right, I do.
I just had the title because it was my Avril Lavigne joke.
Also, bear with me, y'all. I have a cold this week and a broken tooth.
It's been a busy couple of days.
Mercury is in retrograde, I can confirm. Danielle and Natalia confront Garrick about his continued use of dating apps. April and Danielle Davis have an emotional heart-to-heart. The Salahudins learn upsetting news about Keisha. After being stood up, the Ryans hit the road to surprise Stephanie.
I don't know why when you said Danielle Davis, my brain filled it in as Daniel Day-Lewis. So that put a scene in my head that I wasn't ready for today.
Not quite right.
Which iteration of Daniel Day-Lewis would it be? I hope it's There Will Be Blood. Probably the best.
Are you ready for a recap? A rewrite?
A rewrite. Let's hear it.
There we go. The Ryans inch closer and closer to being issued a restraining order. The Salahudins get the text all polygamists dread. April makes Danielle promise to never leave again. Garrick puts off his proposal for another 24 hours.
Well, at least a few hours. I don't know if it's going to be a full 24 hours.
I don't know if he can make it a whole nother day.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. That'll be difficult.
Who do you want to start with?
Let's do the Davis family, because that was just a quick little conversation.
Yeah, they were barely in this episode. It could have stood by itself with the three other couples. Families?
Family?
They're couples at this point.
A lot of them are still couples, which is strange for an entire series that's about seeking sister wives.
But not the Davises.
Not the Davises. They do have an established family. Danielle was pretty much an established family member as of last season, but now she's kind of on the rocks. We don't know.
So last episode, she had a conversation with Nick, and he had said, hey, I really need you to talk to April. Not legal wife, because none of these women are married to Nick, but wife number one.
Matriarch wife.
Right. That's how she's defining herself, because she can't say legal wife. So she's got to go grovel to April, apparently.
And they're doing this while folding laundry, because what's worse than folding laundry? Probably having a confrontational conversation to go along with it.
Okay, that's what I thought. It was a distraction from having to look each other in the eye while they had this conversation.
I need to do something with my hands while we're talking about this, because I'm not going to be able to focus and talk about my feelings.
I guess the whole point of this is April's trying to confront Danielle about the impact that she had running away from the family in the middle of the night.
So I didn't like how April came right out the gate, where it started off with kind of a blame, kind of an accusational stance that she took, where she was framing it in the way of, Danielle, you don't know how much damage you did by leaving the way that you did. So I didn't really like that. I don't think we got off on the right foot with the conversation here. It didn't really frame it in a positive way.
But I think that was the impact that she wanted it to have on Danielle, was to make her feel bad for what she did and make it clear that she should never, ever do that again.
Which was interesting, because as the conversation was going along, all of these things that April was listing off that she was complaining about that had hurt her in this way was that Danielle had gone and done all these things on her own. She handled her own finances. She signed a lease. She did all these independent things. And it was like, okay, so is loss of control the issue that you're having?
Okay, but hold on. I'm going to compare this to Sister Wives, because that's how everyone acted when Mary went and did something on her own.
It's true, because there is any form of independence is seen as a threat within this family structure.
Weirdly, especially from the other sister wives, there's an interesting dynamic there that we're seeing replicated.
Where it's like they all agreed to be miserable together. So if one person is becoming less miserable by doing anything that's enjoyable, then that's not allowed. That's not fair.
That's the root of the problem.
That's the crux of it.
So she wants a guarantee that Danielle is never going to do that again. And Danielle starts to break down during this conversation. There's a lot of mucus being created in her face. She's sobbing. She's really like having a visceral reaction to April saying this to her.
Yeah, there's some sounds that are being made, the bodily function sounds that are happening here, regrettably. And it seems like, yeah, the regret is mostly with Danielle. She feels guilty about what happened. I think a trigger for her was when she was talking about abandonment, which I feel like that's something that Danielle should really talk with a professional about, because I feel like she might have some abandonment issues. And then that was her biggest concern, was having it appear like she was abandoning her family or her child who she was caretaking.
So you think that triggered her?
I think that that was very triggering for her.
She seemed really upset about how the kids have been acting towards her. Like she said, Vera won't let me brush her teeth anymore because she's used to you doing it. And I was like, girl, weren't you gone for like a few days? Didn't she tell us it was the worst few days of her life?
Yeah, it was not that long.
They are acting like she left the family for a significant period of time and it just left them all in upheaval and everything had to change and everyone got used to a different routine.
And I feel like that's one of those moments where it's like, all right, well, if the system cannot operate without me for a day or two, then I feel like I need a pay increase or something here. Like, is there a bonus structure that we can implement? I feel like I'm way more vital than you are all letting on.
I guess April was pleased with Danielle's reaction, because then she goes into something that I felt like was very manipulative by telling her, I forgive you. You should be able to forgive yourself now, Danielle.
I had the same note. Yeah, because this was going to be an offer of forgiveness where April was telling Danielle that she forgives her, but she hopes that Danielle will be able to forgive herself, because it's like, okay, are you going to guilt her? Are you going to continue to make Danielle feel bad about this where she can't forgive herself?
I feel like the subtext of that was, I forgive you, but you should continue to beat yourself up over it.
And like, you can expect manipulation to come from this. Like, I am forgiving you for this. This was a horrible thing that you did, and I'm the better person by allowing us to move past it, and I'm never going to let you forget that.
I really didn't feel that upset about this conversation at the beginning. By the end, I was like, ooh, this had really bad vibes.
I thought it was bookended pretty poorly. It started off bad and it ended worse. But at least April was able to confirm with Danielle, look, we'll slow down on the dating thing. Clearly, you're not ready for that.
She didn't promise to not date, though. It was just, we'll slow down.
Yeah, not that we're not going to continue.
I feel like Danielle interpreted it as, we're putting a pin in that.
We'll take a break. It wasn't a break thing. It was, we will slow down, but it's still moving forward.
And then she makes her promise that she's never going to do anything like that again.
Which is kind of a hard thing to promise, especially if you're going to tell her that things are going to slow down, but then things will not slow down?
Right. Well, I think this is where I started to be like, oh, okay, I kind of get what's going on here, right? Danielle's very young. Isn't she 24? She met them when she was 22. She's very young to be in this situation. And I feel like she's around people who are manipulating her in the fact that she is young and she maybe doesn't know how to stand up for herself very well yet. Because her response to that should have been, I can't make a promise like that. I hope to continue to be with this family. That's my intention. but I can't promise that I'll never leave. And also, I would like you to promise to me that you're going to respect how I feel about dating, because that was how this all began.
That was my note, was that Danielle should have countered that ridiculous promise request with her own ridiculous promise request.
Right. Instead, it turned into, you did something really wrong. You should feel really bad for it. I hope that in time you can forgive yourself. And in the meantime, tell me you'll never do anything like that ever again.
Because then if you do even think about doing anything like this ever again, you'll just get overwhelmed with all the guilt that you're feeling right now that you still are beating yourself up over, that you haven't forgiven yourself for.
I just feel like if she wasn't comfortable before having a conversation with you and she jumped right to leaving, right? Because that's what she did. She left under the veil of night so that nobody would know that she was doing it because she was too scared to have a conversation with them about what was going on. I don't think that this helped. Either she's going to be so afraid that they will never allow her back into this family and won't allow her to have a relationship with these kids anymore that she's never going to leave, even though she wants to, which I think is what they would prefer.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Or she's going to have to escape in the middle of the night again.
So that's what they're set up for now.
I don't feel like this conversation made her feel like she was any more welcome to have a conversation with April about things that were concerning her than she did feel before.
Exactly. But that's pretty much everything that we had for them. It was just the one conversation for the Davis family for this entire episode. And that was it.
Just Mama April.
Just going in for it.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What do you think, the Salahuddin family?
Yeah, so we didn't see them. Was it for like a few episodes, like maybe two?
Yeah, I think they were at the very beginning scene two episodes ago. And it was one of those flyby scenes where they were just wrapping up from the first episode.
Right, where they were still having dinner.
Yes.
Okay, so that's where last week I was feeling like something bad happens, and that's why we're not getting a whole lot of footage of them, right? There wasn't enough content to keep them in every episode. And we learned that that suspicion was correct.
Yeah, Keisha is probably not going to be turning up at the airport here, but they are starting this episode driving to the airport to pick her up, but they're going to make a pit stop first. We got to go pick up some flowers in matching outfits, apparently, too. Maybe they're swinging by Sears for a quick photo shoot. I don't know.
What was that about?
It was accidental, they say.
Okay, not only are they twinning in terms of the same color shirt, similar color shorts, they also appear to be wearing a microphone necklace from Naked and Afraid.
Or Survivor, yeah, something like
that. What was that about? They weren't the same because saw them later on.
Yeah,
but from a distance, that's what it looked like was going on here. I mean, they are it would have been scary if Keisha did get off the plane, spoiler alert, and meet them. Would that not have been terrifying?
Yeah, it'd be weird to get picked up.
It'd be even weirder if she was also wearing
the same
color.
That's what I was going to say. Well, because then that would be funny because then you'd have to go to Sears for a photo shoot at that point. You'd have to.
They're waiting for the florist to put together a bouquet, and it's a little late to be having this conversation, but now's the time while they're standing in this field. Does the florist grow all her own flowers?
I don't think so. I feel like a lot of these are imported.
Okay. There was some type of garden situation going on outside, and so they're talking, they're waiting for her to put everything together, and Nyla decides now is the time to lay down the law. He's excited about going to the airport. We got to make it clear that once Keisha gets here, you're not spending the evening with her, sir.
Yeah, there's no sexy time. There's no overnights that are planned. The hotel is booked because Keisha will not be staying at our house. So I'm glad that we established all of that 15 minutes before we pick her up from the airport, which makes me assume they probably had this conversation. And this is just...
they had to have it on camera.
They had to do this for the camera, for the viewing audience.
This is the approach they have this time, because apparently they had a bad experience with someone who is a prospective sister wife. And they had some kissing. They be kissing.
Y'all be kissing.
And after that, the sister wife-to-be basically stopped trying to grow any type of relationship with Nyla and was completely focused on Naeem. It's hard to remember their names when we don't see them every episode.
Right, yeah. But by this time, they've been talking long enough, delving into their failed sister wife history and establishing their boundaries for this sister wife, that now the florist is delivering their bouquet, warns about how heavy it is, because apparently there's a lot of flowers that are in this arrangement here.
I didn't even remember her saying that.
I just thought it was an odd warning.
I thought it was a pretty bouquet.
Yeah, it was.
She did a nice job.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad looking arrangement there, but I just thought that was a strange word of advice to give. Be careful, it's quite heavy here. Hold it from the bottom.
Someone has dropped it, that's why.
That's happened before. But our florist learns a little something about polygamy before the end of the day here. And I think the number one thing that she learned was that polygamy sounds good for business. Sounds like a lot of people buying flowers to make up for mistakes. It just opens up a whole new revenue stream for her.
I feel like that was our own thoughts, because she called them assholes.
Well, yeah, but that's, I think in the long run, that's what she's going to learn about. There's a lot of business opportunity here.
I got to say, I need to know, florists in the Utah area, is business good? Because when you have someone walking in buying 3-4 bouquets for every occasion, coming in and buying things when they mess up, when they need a little something special, and they're buying multiples of everything, are things better?
I feel like that's not really how it goes in Utah necessarily, because it's not the husband. It's never the husband's fault for anything, so he doesn't have to apologize for stuff.
All right, Valentine's Day, at the very least, is that a very lucrative day?
It could be worth it in the long run for that. But I don't think you're going to get the random just thinking of you sort of impulse buys that you've described.
All right, fair enough.
So they've secured the flowers. They are continuing their trip to the airport. And Keisha texts. She's having second thoughts. What a time to have second thoughts.
It's not even just second thoughts. She has come up with a laundry list of excuses about why she cannot make it now. She has a lot to do, bitch. She has to find some place to leave her car that apparently is not the airport parking lot.
Well, that's expensive.
She needs to move all of her stuff out of where she's currently living and into her friend's guest house. And she just doesn't have time to do that because she's already supposed to be going through airport security at this point.
Which, yeah, they are shocked when they're attempting to call her and the call will not go through. And I figured, well, yeah, maybe it's an airplane mode, right? That must be what's going on. No,
that's
probably
not what's going on.
I don't think so.
At this point, wouldn't you feel like the lesson learned here is if someone actually shows up, that's really exciting. That should be the thing that is counter to what your expectations are anytime someone promises to come meet you or visit you. I would just assume they're not coming. Is that just because I'm a negative person, or am I a realist in this situation?
Well, I mean, some people would say it's both, yeah.
You're like, text me when you land, and I'll start driving to the airport.
Yeah, I'll pay for your Uber to my house, so you could just get scooped up.
Okay, whoa. That might make someone scared to come.
I will be posing as your Uber driver, and I will not let you know.
That's a situation the Ryans would do.
Well, I mean, I feel, yeah, that is very Ryan's behavior. But for the Salahuddin family, I feel like they would make a lot of money in an Uber because it looks like they have like massage chairs in that car. What is going on in this car?
It was very distracting. Is it just the driver whose seat is like that?
because I thought it was lighting up earlier in the episode when they were driving to get the flowers. So I thought there was like lights that were happening in the headrest. And then while they're hearing this heartbreaking news that Keisha will not be at the airport when they go to pick her up, the chair is just pulsating behind his head. So it's very distracting to take them seriously in this moment.
I feel like that'd be dangerous if you got in an accident and that thing was on.
It's bad enough, yeah, to have your radio be on in a car accident.
I'm sorry, what?
Well,
what will happen to me if my radio is on in a car accident?
No, I'm just, okay. So this might be my pessimistic brain, but if you've ever thought about, there are instances where you would end up in a vehicular crash of some kind, that you would be immobilized and you would need to be removed from that vehicle by a rescue team. And your radio is just on the whole time? Like, that would get weird. Would you want to be listening to, like, your shock jock news talk radio morning stuff?
Who's listening to a shock jock?
I'm just saying, like, or whatever ads, stupid ads for your local stuff. I don't want to hear about Mattress Firm and...
Okay, it's a little morbid. You know, I thought something was going to actually happen.
No, I'm not saying it's something
like, there was going to be some type of injury related to the radio being on.
Oh, you're worried about...
What is it going to do to me?
Like the chair harming you as part of this?
In the accident, yes. Yes, there's a lot of impact when you get in a car accident. And then the airbag goes off and it shoves you backwards and it hits you into this massage chair.
I figured out what it is. You're worried about the physical implications of this. I'm worried about the psychological damage that happens from this situation, with the radio specifically.
Okay. I'm just confused. It looked like it was a Honda to me. Are there like Hondas with massage chairs in them?
This looked like a base model. On the outside of it, it didn't look like anything... Fancy.
Are you sure it was attached to the chair and it's not like a separate thing that they bought?
They cut open the chair and installed this aftermarket massage device?
Was it separate? Is it just sitting on top of the chair?
No, it is in. It's in the chair.
Okay. They drive a lot if you need a neck massage the whole time you're driving.
I don't think I would want that either. Yeah, it's just, I feel like it would be very uncomfortable.
Wow, we talked about that for a long time.
There was a lot. I thought about it for a long time, too.
Yeah. Well, they were in the car for most of this episode. They're having a conversation about, she didn't know about any of these things before today. Those are clearly all things that you needed to plan for. You knew this trip was coming. You knew you had to get on a plane. You could have told us yesterday, before we were in the car going to the airport, that you weren't going to be able to come.
I'm just glad that they didn't drive back to the florist and try to return the flowers. There wasn't a scene for that. Thank goodness. They just kept the flowers. Cut your losses.
Oh, that florist was like, just so you know, there's a no return policy.
Yeah. After finding out that they were polygamist assholes, as she described.
Well, let's clarify, because I feel like we're making her sound bad. She called them assholes because who would want to deal with more than one person? It's hard enough being in a relationship with one other individual, never mind multiple.
Yeah, I feel like it was just a general, like a blanket asshole term for this person. Not specifically that they were rude or disrespectful in any way, but it was just...
Just stupid.
It's just not advised. In her line of work, she knows this is ill-advised.
It's going to get expensive.
So they're going to go on their date, which, of course, they had to go home and change first because too matchy-matchy to go out on a date right after this. But they're going out on the date that they would have been going out with Keisha. So that kind of already, in general, you have to tell the lady when you're sitting down at the table, oh, we'll only need place for two, please, not three. You can save the other rolled up silverware in the napkin.
Okay. Yeah, let's not act like this place was super fancy. I mean, look, the drinks looked good.
The drinks looked fun, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, it's not a Michelin star restaurant with the condiments right on the table there.
She was dressed like she was going to someplace much fancier.
I think that's what threw me off, was that this was being treated like a very extravagant location when it did not seem to match the atmosphere that was presented to us.
But they're not going to let her standing them up basically like ruin the weekend for them, right? So they're going out to dinner and then they proceed to just talk about her the whole time.
Which is funny because the Ryans had that opportunity where they got stood up. They were on a date that they were supposed to meet up with Desiree. But They didn't. She stood them up, rightfully so. Good on you, girl. But they just went home and were like, well, I guess that's the end of the night.
Hold on.
What's
his name? Why do I want to call him Ryan all the time?
Because Ryan is their last name, but his name is Justin.
Okay. Justin was mad and was like, we're not staying here. We only came here because we were supposed to meet her. So it's time to leave.
Yeah. Because it's like, why would I want to spend any more time with you, Becky?
We're going home. There's something wrong with him. That's what happened.
It's so weird. So that I at least respect the Salahuddin family a little bit more for that, of at least we will go out on a date because I still like you. So that's good. That's promising.
They did just talk about dating, though.
Yeah, they did. But, I mean, it's for the show. It's for the cameras, too. So I think the difference now in the shift that we're seeing is that Naeem was basically talking about, I don't think that dating online seems to be working for us. So maybe we should move to only meeting with people in person.
Seems fair.
It's valid.
I think that's a sentence a lot of people have said, whether they're looking for a plural relationship or not. The problem is it's very hard to meet people in person. And it's going to be even harder to meet people who are interested in this specific type of relationship.
Not all of us have brass balls like Becky, who will just walk up to people at a bar and try to convert them to polygamy.
Okay, so that's what Nyla is worried about when he first says this, because she's like, I'm sorry, sir. You want me to just walk up to random people in the bar and ask them if they want to be in this type of relationship? I don't want to be judged and criticized and tell people that that's what we're looking for. That makes me feel uncomfortable. I'd rather just type out messages to people.
Well, and in the dating app. Yeah, and in groups where you know that these are people who are seeking this. But to be fair, Naeem's basically saying, are those people actually interested in it? Because most of the people that we've interacted with have failed to come and meet up with us. So is it a disconnect there?
Again, I feel like it's fair on both sides.
Yes.
I understand wanting to date someone who's closer by so you can actually get to know them, because they just keep getting in these relationships where they feel like they're getting to know someone. But then when it comes time for them to come spend time with them in person, they back out.
So it feels like they're kind of struggling with this is the heartache that they're going through right now of this dating process. And is that worth it at this point? They're hoping it will be, but they're trying to figure out how can we kind of navigate this better where we don't have to constantly have our hopes elevated and then dashed.
They need to follow the Garrick recipe where you don't put all your eggs in one basket. You have multiple women that you're talking to, multiple apps on your phone.
And you try to fertilize the egg as soon as possible. That's the real goal.
Should we just talk about them?
Oh, well, I guess it's kind of a 50-50 at this point because we were kind of going in with the Ryan family too. There's a lot of crossover there.
Let's go to the Merrifields.
Okay.
Wow. Another episode where they just keep delivering on the dramas. So we left them last week with Danielle yelling at Garrick. Well, Danielle and Roberta number two.
Well, Roberta's app was yelling at Garrick for her.
They're mad because he had lied to Natalia about deleting the dating app off of his phone.
Yeah, Garrick is busted and not in the way that he was expecting to this week.
God, that is what he's been looking forward to. And that's what he's most upset about in this situation, right? It's getting him further and further away from what his original intended goal was. And instead, he looks like a deer in headlights with these women both coming at him from both sides, yelling at him about what he did and how he wronged them and how he betrayed them.
Oh, and he's still playing completely dumb where he doesn't know what an app is. He doesn't know how things get installed. Maybe we can call that tech support person who got Natalia to cut the line for the visas and got her here so quick. Maybe we can give them a call and they can explain this to him in greater detail.
He's acting like that. Okay, that would be believable if this was the first person that you ever talked to on one of these apps. But you had a full-on relationship with Roberta number one using these apps. You fucking know how they work.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Roberta number two. Bounch, 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 bounch. No, this is betrayal is what this is.
Danielle was she was mad. Don't act like you weren't talking to other people.
Well, she's bringing the receipts because she's like, oh, you didn't look at anybody else's profile? And Garrick has to tell her, of course not. But then she hits him with the look. because she knows you showed me other people's profiles.
They've spent many a night laying next to each other in bed where Garrick's just scrolling through these apps while Danielle's left to her own devices.
Well, literally, probably. What got me was when Garrick has to tell us all, shocking news, that he was planning to propose tonight. And this is really going to put a damper on the situation. So he should probably hold off.
Isn't this like the second day that they've been with her?
Yeah.
My God.
Because he was going to propose before she even got on the plane.
Well, right. Because I think they also have the intimacy rule situation going on. But it's the loophole. That as long as he's engaged to them, it's okay. So he just gets engaged as fast as humanly possible.
That's the goal. That is the challenge.
Natalia's like, look, I need to explain what the actual issue is here because I feel like you're really getting caught up in the minutia. The issue is that you told me you deleted the app and you didn't. That's the problem. Not that you have the app. It's that you told me you did something that you didn't do. And he's like, oh, I see now. He really thinks that because she doesn't speak English, he's going to be able to get out of this by acting dumb.
Well, and he does use Danielle as a shield, where I think Danielle knows that her role is to reassure Natalia and to make sure to guide Garrick's penis into Natalia.
Oh, God.
Like, that's the main reason for her being around.
He is 100% an asshole, because then he starts to split hairs and he's like, well, she asked me to stop talking to people, so that's what I did. She didn't ask me to delete the apps. And then we find out
he told her.
Yes. Natalia's like, look, the thing I'm really mad about is that he's the one who told me he was going to delete the apps. I didn't ask him to do that. He like volunteered to do that.
Well, it was probably because Danielle was giving him heat about deleting the apps. So he was figuring, I'm probably going to delete the apps. So then he told Natalia that so he could get some points that he was deleting the app. But then he was able to convince Danielle that, oh, it's not a big deal. I'm going to keep looking at the app.
He can't keep his story straight. And he's only got two wives. How is he going to have five?
The lies are only going to get more complicated from here. So that's it. Natalia goes to bed. She storms off to bed.
Alone.
Thankfully. I hope she locked the door behind her and put a chair up against it, too, so that Garrick's not pawing at her window all night. But the next morning, Garrick has regrets. He's living in regrets.
Well, he's pretending to have regrets. He knows everyone's still upset. He's getting that vibe when he gets to the table that Danielle's still mad.
That's it. Because it's not morning. Because when Natalia comes down, she says, buenos tardes, which is afternoon. Good afternoon.
Oh, really? I thought it was the next morning.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know how long they avoided each other for most of the day.
I don't know how long they slept.
I don't know if it was sleeping. I think it was avoiding one another because of the awkwardness of what happened the night before.
But Garrick and Danielle are at the table to talk first because Garrick should have listened to Danielle, should have deleted those apps when he had the chance.
This is where he's groveling to her, right?
Well, kind of. Not really. I think he knows he fucked up and now he needs to win Danielle back because he can't get Natalia back on his own. He's going to need Danielle to reinforce this with him. So he has to win Danielle back before he can win Natalia back.
That's true, because Danielle always has to apologize on his behalf as well.
She speaks Garrick. So Danielle accepts Garrick's weak-ass apology here.
Okay, this was interesting, because then she tries to make a point of, we've really only known Natalia for 3, maybe going on 4 months, and Garrick knows where she's going with that, and he cuts her off, and he's like, well, I think I should propose. So that she knows that I'm serious. I think that's the solution to this whole thing that just happened, is I have to prove my commitment to her by proposing to her.
You know how we can solve this fight? I should propose a marriage. I think that's the only solution here, is that I need to marry her and then she will forgive me.
See, and this is where I lose respect for Danielle, because she was clearly trying to set something up there by saying we've not known her that long. And for him to automatically, he's trying to stop whatever she's about to say, because that seemed to lead to, we don't know her that well. Maybe we should slow things down. And instead he said, no, we should speed things up. We should not deter from what the original intention of this trip was.
I have to prove my good intentions by proposing to Natalia. as soon as possible. But Natalia does come down. She accepts Garrick's apology as well. It was a little rocky at first, but they got through it. She seems to have calmed down from the night before. But now Garrick is asking them both to help him delete the apps that have upset them all so much. Why would you do that?
I'm sorry, but sir, you don't know how to delete apps off of your phone.
He's like, I don't know how any of this stuff works.
Come on. Still playing. You've never deleted an app off your iPhone. He's wanting to act like they're part of the solution. And the problem was Natalia, who speaks very little English, is like, I'm sorry, did you just say apps?
Yeah, multiple.
Plural?
How many?
More than one? How many? How many apps do you have?
A whole lot of apps, let me tell you. I feel like Garrick's iPhone, though, if you did go to it and you pulled up like what's running currently, and you would just be closing things out for 18
years. He has 100 windows open in Safari.
He hasn't reset his phone in 3 years. And it's everything is running in the background. And then he complains about how slow things go.
I agree. There's like 5 different screens of apps. And like the dating ones are not all in one place. So he's really got to sort through there to find them all. He's like, I don't even know the names of these.
He doesn't know how to add things into folders.
We're going to have to go through and open every app on my phone to see if it's a dating app.
What is it?
Yeah, and there's a good chance it is.
Yeah, if you're taking those odds, you're bound to hit a dating app going through this list. Let me tell you. So he's got at least maybe 10. And again, I can't even think of 10 dating apps.
Well, she's pissed again.
So this is, yeah, this just reignites the issues again from last night. So I don't know why Garrick decided to just put this on these women for his problems. Again, why are you doing this?
Why wouldn't you just come downstairs and say, I deleted everything off my phone. You can look.
That would be
No dating app on here.
Because that's what Natalia's like. I need you to take responsibility for this. Because then she starts getting on Danielle's case because Danielle starts advocating for Garrick. Exactly like he planned. I need Danielle to apologize for me because she apologizes better. So Danielle's reassuring Natalia. And Natalia's like, that's great that you feel that way, Danielle. I need Garrick to feel that way. Because right now he clearly does not. So he's not taking responsibility for this. Because, I don't know, is Garrick addicted to apps? To dating? Garrick likey the swipey, I guess.
Well, he's looking for 5 wives. That's what God told him. He was going to have 5 wives. So okay. She's only number 2.
His reasoning, too, was like, oh, there's not a lot of people who are interested in polygamy. So on these apps, it's like a subset of a subset of a subset.
Right. Plus, they have to be Brazilian.
We have to cast a very wide net to get this specific person that we are seeking.
Is it a wrong argument? Not really.
No, I mean, like, that makes sense. But again, I can't even think of 10 apps that you would use for dating purposes.
I feel like he shouldn't even have the apps on his phone. They should have a separate phone that is for dating.
A burner?
That they then turn off and don't use. Because I think that's what he does. Like, he's in the bathroom, he's scrolling on the app. He's sitting in bed, he's scrolling on the app. He's stopping for lunch. He's scrolling on the app.
I can't believe that his, because then he goes right into, so he starts off by defending it. The reason why is it's difficult to find people who are interested in polygamy on these dating apps. Okay, that I could see. But then he jumps right into, I don't know why Natalia is getting so upset about this anyway. There's going to be 5 wives, so the apps are coming back sooner or later.
Right, but he doesn't say that to her face.
He does not say that to her. No, because that would upset her.
Does she know there are going to be 5 of them?
That's what I'm confused about, too.
And also, this is a Pokemon situation where he is trying to collect them all as quickly as possible.
Heart so true.
Like, it's not like there are going to be 5 wives. We might find someone later in life. We're trying to rush this and just collect 5 women.
Okay, I'd like to change my theory. My theory was that Garrick was going to have 5 wives as God told him in a vision, but they were going to be 1 at a time because all of these women were going to divorce him. I'm starting to think now that maybe all 5 of his wives are just going to be Danielle in different stages of grief. Because that's kind of where we are right now. Maybe that's your 5 wives. It's all in Danielle.
She really didn't take what Natalia said and reflect on it at all, though. That, like, you, all you do is come to his defense, and I need you to just shh and let him actually absorb the lesson. I don't think this relationship's going to work out because she's going to hold him too accountable.
Oh, yeah, because Natalia is immediately throwing out the situation of, what if the roles were reversed? You guys would be very upset with me right now. If I had a bunch of these apps and I was talking to people and I was getting notifications and I told you I deleted them from my phone, you guys wouldn't trust me at all.
I was so disappointed when she forgave him again.
I think it was just to get him to stop talking at that point, because when he starts talking about hyssop and festering wounds, I don't think that King David is probably the dude you should go to reference at this point.
He always has to pull out a Bible story, though.
Yeah, to get people to leave him alone. That's how he...
He had to reposition it in a positive light. Deflects. That this bad thing happened, but something good's going to come of it.
Yeah, because again, you know, King David was the dude who lusted over Bathsheba, who was bathing on a roof that he was gawking at without consent, mind you, and went over and banged her. And that was his general who he sent to war. That was his guy's wife.
That sounds very much like the Ryans.
Right?
Should we get into them? They were talking a lot about looking over fences, spying on people.
Creeping around, man. But yeah, it's not a good situation over with the Ryan family either.
No. The two of them, it's really creepy.
What bothers me is that they have kids. Keep that in the back of your mind for this entire episode. So these are two people who are very clearly enabling each other. They have no respect for the law.
There's some kind of sick and twisted relationship going on here. You're right, though. They're enabling each other, because not at any point did either one of them look at each other and say, maybe this is a bad idea.
It's always, how far can you go? Are you willing to go further? Because I'm willing to go further. And it's a dare.
I think it's a pissing match.
It's just a competition to see who's going to blink. It's a game of chicken.
Stephanie, who was the sister wife who they had, I want to call her a potential sister wife, but they are acting like she was in a full-on committed relationship with them. She is a sister wife. They've only known her for 9 months.
They seem to be very convinced of this.
Yes. But in a creepy way, because it's that they are attached to her now, so she is stuck with them. And she had ghosted them before this show started.
Because you promised, you said, because that's the basis of this whole visit that comes up too, is that Stephanie, when they were on talking terms, had invited Justin and Becky to come and visit her for the weekend or whatever duration of this trip was going to be. And then that offer was rescinded because they are not talking.
So I thought she popped back up. That's what they were saying, that she does this. She like disappears, then she'll pop back up again. And in this moment of wanting to engage with them again, she had invited them over to visit. And then she said, I have to work. Please don't come.
But then they stopped. Yeah. So the offer was rescinded at that point. Not interested in you guys coming to see me now anymore. Thank you very much. But they are still going.
Yeah, she invited us, so we're still going to go. And also, Justin is so in love with her that he has to go see her.
They have a 12-hour drive to think about this the whole way. One way!
Okay, you know what this reminded me of? When Angela, on 90 Day, flew all the way to see Michael, and the whole time that she was flying to Africa, she was mad at him. And when she got there, she ripped his car apart, and everyone was extremely disturbed that she had all of that time to calm down and become a rational person again and not do that. And she didn't. And that's what they're doing here.
And I don't know if it's scarier that their emotions aren't changing. Because like Angela was mad. So like that was her motivator to do that sort of crazy.
I think they're mad too.
This is just like they're not. They're mad.
They're mad. I think they're mad. He's mad that he's in love with her.
I think you're picking up on Justin's rage, which is suppressed. That is way down in there. I don't think that there's a surface level mad that's happening.
All right. Well, there is for Becky, because Becky's like, she treats us like shit.
I don't think so.
You don't think she treats us like shit, or you don't think that Becky is mad?
Well, I think that they're confused. They keep taking this as, oh, she recently recommitted to us. She has recommitted. Stephanie has recommitted.
She called us again.
Multiple times. As a permanent sister wife. Yeah. It's like, what does that mean? What are you interpreting as recommitment as a permanent sister wife.
Okay, well, apparently it means that people don't have free will anymore, which is that she can't decide that she doesn't want to have a relationship with them.
The terminology that Becky used was that I guess we're going to have to drive there, go there, lay down the law. Just the terminology that's being used in this instance, very uncomfortable for me. Because then it's like, okay, is that an ultimatum? What are we doing here?
It is an ultimatum. And the whole thing is extra creepy because then they're talking about how they've decided that Stephanie is perfect for them. She's the right age. She's had a similar background. Her life has had many parallels to them, having children early in life. So they've decided that she is perfect. So she doesn't have a choice in this anymore. And they are going to pursue her relentlessly.
Did you like that Becky had a necklace, a sister wife necklace? It wasn't from my sister wife's closet because it was not a charm bracelet for her neck.
No.
But
this was a bit daintier than my sister wife's closet classic look.
A little less sterling silver. You won't sink right to the bottom.
And we had circles, not hearts. Did they like circles? Well, we know Mary doesn't like a circle.
Not circles. We need the heart butt to butt.
God. So they're driving to see Stephanie. And at one point, Becky's like, maybe we should try to give her a call. So she knows we're in the area.
So we can, I think legally we have to alert her to our presence because we are coming within 500 feet.
My God, if I was Stephanie, I'd be like, let's share locations. And then I would stop sharing mine with them and make sure I could track them no matter where they were.
Because again,
make sure they're far, far away from me.
It's the verbiage for me that they are using because Becky was already, my alarm bells were going off with the terminology that she was using. Justin then starts talking about his deep love and connection with Stephanie, how he loves Stephanie to death.
Right.
Made me nervous. And about how he was referring to this as a terrible cat and mouse game, like he's a fucking serial killer.
Yes. All of this was very, very, very uncomfortable and scary. Right? Because they think it's a game.
Everything was alarm bells.
Like they're not taking her seriously when she's saying, I need you to not come here. I need to not talk to you. I don't want to have a relationship with you. I need some time away from you. And they're like, no, it's a game. She just wants us to pursue her more now.
No doesn't mean no.
Yeah, exactly.
For them. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? We're going to show up at Stephanie's gym that she doesn't have a membership to. It was very clearly an Orange Theory.
It was
fitness,
an Orange Theory.
Obviously. But we're going to show up at Stephanie's gym, which she hasn't been able to pay for her membership for recently. And she was complaining about that to us. So we're going to go reactivate her gym membership. Fucking weird. That's weird.
Okay. Yes, it is weird. And I feel like they do this type of thing to her to manipulate her, where now she feels like, oh, they spent money on me. They got me a gift. They bought me something. I owe them something in return. Which is basically what Becky was saying when she said she treats us like crap. We do so much for her.
And we get nothing in return.
And then they went and did something for her to try to, quote, soften her up before they go and stalk her.
Which, if that was the goal, you can do that by calling the gym. You right. Don't need to go in person. So I think that was the other power move here, is to show up in person and reactivate your friend's gym membership without their knowledge or consent.
It was just such an abusive, cult-like thing to do to somebody.
Because then they're telling you that they did this for you. This is in your best interest. No, that was a self-serving thing that you guys were doing. You literally said, you're trying to soften her up.
There was a motive.
You are doing this to better your situation.
I don't know. I guess reactivating her Orange Theory membership is supposed to make her forget about the fact that they drove hours and hours to see her, even though she said, do not come here, and showed up at her doorstep.
So then they get the bright idea, because that wasn't personal enough and invasive enough for them, that, well, since we drove the 12 hours, we might as well swing by her house real quick, because we know where she lives, and check to see if her car is in the garage, because she has windows on her garage, so we could just peek right in.
Okay. They were acting like they were joking. And then they made a joke about jumping the fence. And I was like, girl, it's time to get security cameras. It's time to move. it's time to get a restraining order. These people are very scary. I think they're just like a few steps away from becoming violent.
They're getting a little too comfortable.
Yeah. It was all very off. So they get there, and then he sends Becky up to the front door because we wouldn't want to intimidate her by, you know, a man coming to the front door.
I feel like I would be more scared of Becky at the door.
I would too.
Alone at the door. I feel like that would be scarier for me if I were Stephanie in that situation.
How terrified would you be? You told these people not to come. They came anyway. They've been calling your phone over and over again. You're not answering because you're trying to avoid them. And then they show up ringing your front doorbell.
The spoiler for me is that they did not show Stephanie's face in the photos. They have blurred her face out. So I'm assuming this does not go well because Stephanie does not sign a release to use her image in the show and has actively pursued the removal of her face from the show to restrict access in those ways. I don't think this is going to turn out too good. This is going to be a bad trip.
I hope that Stephanie says, do not ever do this ever again. Lose my number. Do not contact me or I will be contacting the police. They are not right. There is something very wrong with
them. I feel like it's too late. Yeah, now they're there. They probably threw an air tag on your car.
Oh, God.
And now you're really in it.
Next episode, the Merrifields prepare to Sorry, can't even say it. Next episode, the Merrifields prepare to propose to Natalia. The Salahuddins blindside Naeem's mother with unexpected news. The Sherwoods go on a group date with Sarah. The Ryans make a heartbreaking realization about Stephanie. I guess it's that she doesn't want to have a fucking relationship with them.
Man, I really hope so. And I'm really hoping that they don't skip over the Ryans next week because we do have a couple other families that are coming back.
They're in the episode description.
So I hope that, yeah, we pick up right with this scene right out the gate.
We can only hope. Thank you for listening. If you want to support us, the best way to do that is by subscribing to the podcast or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Be sure to chat with us about the episode on our Discord channel by joining our Patreon, patreon.com/survivingpod.
Stay tuned, share with friends. See you next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.